Welcome to the Experienced Darden Podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share my recent conversation with Larry Murphy. Larry is President of Custom Solutions for Darden's Executive Education and Lifelong Learning Team, and he and I recently connected via Zoom to talk more about an initiative that was launched this year for students to help build community, the Darden Meal Plan. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here is my interview with Larry Murphy. Larry, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thanks, Brett. Glad to be here.
How are you doing, by the way?
Well, I'm locked down here just outside of Charlottesville. Like many of our colleagues, I've been spending most of my days working from home, but doing pretty well. Enjoying the change of seasons through the lens of these windows in my study. You doing all right?
Yeah, doing okay. Hosting podcasts, doing webinars, meeting prospective students. Admissions continues apace.
Excellent.
Yeah. Have you picked up any hobbies in the midst of all of this?
I will say, in addition to picking up an extra few pounds, I can attribute that to one of the hobbies. We've done a lot more cooking, my wife and I. So definitely expanded my culinary range, and which was also necessary because my two teenage sons are home. You know, one's usually at boarding school, the other one's usually at UVA undergrad, actually. They've spent a lot of time home during the last several months, and they eat a lot, so we've been cooking a lot. And I've become more familiar with our wood pile, chopping wood for the outdoor fire pit, which we use a lot.
And that's a nice activity to do, spending a little time outdoors, and probably helps balance out the cooking, I would think, the chopping of the wood.
Yeah, I probably would need to chop down my whole yard to make up for the cooking. It's meant a lot more time with family, which is mostly good, right? Can also be a little stressful. If I was a teenage boy, I would not want to be spending this much time with my parents, but we're doing fine.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you're hanging in there. And thank you so much for taking time out of a busy schedule for the podcast. Invited you on because I wanted to talk about one of the initiatives that was put in place, and really kind of something that was offered by the school in response to COVID-19 and what was going on, sort of as pilot for this year. Before we get there, I want to talk a little bit more about you and your background and what you did before coming to Darden, and of course, what your role is here now. So tell us a little bit more about your story.
Sure, happy to. Thanks. Thanks for asking. I'm on my second or third career, hard to keep track. I spent the first sort of 14 years of my career in investment banking. And that's what I had set out to do when I was an undergrad here at UVA. And then later after graduate school, returned to investment banking. Somewhere along the way, I got involved in campus recruiting at the firm that I was working with. And that translated into kind of an emerging interest in what it might be like to work in higher ed. And before you know it, I was talking to folks in higher education and interviewing for jobs and changing my career and shifted over from investment banking into higher education. First in the MBA program administration at a very large business school in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And then later in executive education. And so it's actually there at that other business school that I got involved in exec ed. And did it for several years. I was actually more than 10 years at that other school. Most recently, however, though, I was working at McKinsey, the strategy consulting firm, and I was the head of learning and development. So that executive education, learning and development, sort of internal training and development type role for the partners of McKinsey around the world. And was doing that for, I guess I was in my fourth year when I got a call from the University of Virginia asking me if I'd be interested in this role at Darden. So it was pretty exciting for me personally. Of course, I'm actually from Virginia. I'm from Newport News, Virginia, which is in the southeastern part of the state. Went to school here, as I said, as an undergrad. And so it gave me an opportunity to continue doing what I love doing, which is adult learning and development in its different forms. and to do that at a place that I have such strong ties with and strong feelings about at the University of Virginia. And oddly enough, when I was at UVA, right after I graduated, this was undergrad, before I went on to Wall Street, I actually had a summer job at Darden. So technically, my career started at Darden 33 years ago, and now I'm back. I've been here for 2 years and came here as the president of executive education and lifelong learning, where what I do is sort of, I now call that my day job because of this other thing that we're going to talk about. But my day job is to lead a team of folks in our exec ed shop that work with companies to design customized programs for their senior executives that are taught by Darden faculty, typically here in Charlottesville or in our Roslyn facility. As you know, Brett, we're a big customer of the Sands family grounds in Roslyn. Like I said, I've been doing that for 2 years. That's my story.
Well, what's it like to be back as a UVA alum in Charlottesville, access to football games, basketball games?
Yeah, I annoy both my family and myself with comparisons between, you know, how it used to be then, what it's like now. And every time we go somewhere, I point out, okay, yeah, that's where I first, you know, did such and such as an undergrad, or that's, you know, let me take you to my favorite, restaurant, which, you know, nine out of 10 of them are long gone. And I'm pretty out of touch actually with what university students really do nowadays. It's been great to be back though. You know, of course, I've been back, as I said, I've been back 2 years. Half of that time has been almost half has been during COVID. So that's put a little bit of a cramp in our style, but we still, I get to do things now that I didn't do when I was a student. So we spend a lot more time kind of traveling around the region, enjoying some of what Albemarle County and Central Virginia have to offer, trying to get outside a little bit more. So it is great to be back. I look forward to when the pandemic's over so we can get back into football. I had season tickets my first year, and we really enjoyed it, last year. I look forward to doing it again soon.
Well, you're right. The UVA football team played in the ACC championship game not so long ago, ran into the Clemson Tigers, buzzsaw that they are, but nevertheless, made it there. Tremendous turnaround.
Well, that's something that's definitely, I'm sorry to interrupt, that's definitely a change for the better. Cause when I was a student, the UVA football team did not win many games. And, I'm glad to see all of our sports teams doing so well. It's exciting. And Darden, you know, it's quite a buzz around the North grounds whenever there's, whether it's basketball or baseball or softball, you know, all the sports activities that are right around the corner from Darden here in Charlottesville grounds, get right in the midst of it. You get caught up in it.
That's such a great point for our listeners who are less familiar with the layout of UVA's grounds. Many of the athletic fields are right at Darden's doorstep. So just a stone's throw away from Clockner Field, and that where soccer and lacrosse play. And of course the baseball field, as Larry mentioned, and I would say the hottest ticket in town, typically non-COVID times, is men's basketball in John Paul Jones Arena. Just roll down the hill. You'll be there.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Well, Larry, your work keeps you very, very busy, but you've also picked up in the midst of all of this, as I mentioned, it's sort of a little bit of a teaser at the outset of our conversation here. The school has piloted a program, a lunch program for students in response to, or meal program, I should probably describe it as, in response to the COVID-19 pandemic for, you know, just trying things out here. And you have found yourself in the middle of this. How did all this happen?
Yeah, it has been an interesting ride. So in my first year here in executive education, the school decided, and the dean asked myself and my boss in exec ed, Ashley Williams, asked Ashley and myself to take over the oversight of the hospitality function at Darden for both the Charlottesville grounds as well as the Roslyn grounds. And what that meant was overseeing the relationship that the school has and that the Darden School Foundation has with the with Flick Hospitality, which is the group that we contract with to provide our food services here in Charlottesville, our food and facility services up in Roslyn, and until very recently, also our hotel services here in Charlottesville. So for those who haven't visited in Charlottesville before, we have for the last 20 years had an on-grounds hotel, 180 bedrooms, I think. And it was used, the hotel was used primarily to support the Darden community. The executive education business is one of its biggest customers, so the natural fit with my day job. But we also hosted student groups when the residencies of our EMBA and MSBA folks up in Northern Virginia would be here in Charlottesville. They would typically stay at our hotel. We have other academic conferences and other executive and business conferences on grounds. And so have been over, we were asked to oversee that. A big part of our plans for hospitality include the redevelopment of the Darden Inn. And so for those of you who have a chance to come by, you'll see that we've got a big construction site going on. We are actually tearing down the Darden Inn, the hotel at the bottom of the hill from down from Saunders Hall. And we'll be building over the next 2 years a new hotel. Meanwhile, the food service operations continue up the hill, as we say, in the Abbott Center dining room here in Charlottesville, and also food services continue on in the Sands family grounds. And so I was in the sort of the day-to-day business, if you will, of working with our partner, Flick Hospitality, to oversee and direct our food services when COVID hit. And when COVID hit, everything changed. We ended up closing the hotel, never to reopen it. We had already had plans to redevelop the inn. And so with its closure because of COVID, we went ahead with those construction plans and then began planning for the reopening of both Charlottesville and Roslyn in the late summer. And one of the features of that reopening here in Charlottesville for our residential MBA students was the innovation of a new student meal plan. And so it was decided in the late spring last year that the school would grant a $600 balance, if you will, into the student meal plan. And we typically haven't had a student meal service or a student meal plan. We've had a cafeteria. But there was never any funding for it in the way that the school decided to do this last year. And the school granted each first year and second year student $600 for the fall. And initially that was going to be it, a little bit more for the first years in the spring. Later in the year, we decided to actually increase the funding for the total amount of the year. And so first year students ended up this year with a $600 funding for both the fall and the spring. And second years had their funding extended as well. And what that meant though, was that we needed to figure out a way to provide lunches every day to students, every class day to students, and figure out a way to do that in a way that would be compliant with health and safety protocols. And that of course meant redesigning everything about our kitchen operations, everything about our service operations. It's been, like I said, it's been a wild ride. Very interesting to see the changes that we've been able to put in place over the course of the last several months. Let me stop there and see if there's a particular aspect of this that you might find more interesting than another.
Well, I think this is all really interesting. To me, it's less about the meals and the fact that, you know, the school is thinking about students and thinking about the student experience and working really hard, to offer something to students that might make their lives a bit easier in the midst of all this. I know, though, from your end, that required a lot of adjustment. You talked about what's going on with COVID-19 and having to rethink all these processes. I mean, what have you learned along the way here?
Well, you're certainly right to point out that there's more to this than just free food. you know, the student meal plan had two very clear objectives. One was to try to alleviate some of the financial strain of attending graduate school. And that was very clearly in the dean's objectives when he put the plan on the table, if you will. The other one, most, you know, and just as important as the first one, was to do what we could to strengthen community during what we knew would be a difficult time. And so creating community around food, and maybe it's because the dean has spent the last or the previous 30 years in Europe, where food, you could argue that maybe Europe is a more food-centric place than North America. But he certainly sees the connection between food and community and asked us to see that as well and to create a pathway to an even stronger community than we would otherwise have during the pandemic. And so that's really been very, very upfront in our mind. Sort of serving the food is the easy part. it's how do we do it in a way that makes it convenient, that makes it comfortable, that makes it interesting. I've had students say to us that, you know, coming to grounds to get lunch today, that's like the best part of my day. Getting a chance to get out of your apartment, if you happen to be in virtual class those days, get out of your apartment, come up, sit in the tent. We put this big tent up on the lawn next to Saunders Hall. Where you can, you could sit, particularly in the fall and again in the spring when the weather's nice, without your mask, socially distance from other people, enjoy a meal that you were able to get basically for free. And in fact, we created community. We did just that. You know, we started though, just operationally, we did have to learn some things. Operationally, we started with 5 cold meals a day. So you could choose from among, I think it was 2 sort of grain bowls, 2 salads or 2 sandwiches, excuse me, 2 grain bowls, 2 sandwiches and a salad. And that was nice. And there was no customization. You couldn't, add chips or anything like that. And for a few weeks, we did it that way. And the way you got your food was you had to order it, through a Qualtrics survey the night before. And so it was pretty basic. We were scrambling, trying to put together the technology for how do we do this? How do we keep track of people's declining balance? How do we know how much food to prepare? We can't have long lines of people kind of drifting around trying to find this or that. And so thinking through all of that meant, pre-ordering, it meant packaging with people's names on them. One thing we did, for instance, we figured out was that since we know where all the first years are in their different sections in their classes, if they've ordered food, why don't we just take the food and sit it outside their classroom with their name on it instead of having them congregate in some central location? So, it was little operational innovations like that really kind of made it fun. It also, I think the students really appreciated it. I mean, there's probably not that many schools where you come out of class and your lunch with your name on it is sitting right there. And it's the thing that you ordered yesterday with, eventually we started adding chips and dessert and drinks. And so it's got your Diet Coke and your salt and vinegar chips and your chocolate chip cookies in there, all of which was sort of deducted from your declining balance, all quite automatically. Later in the fall, we began to operate through an app that is much more user-friendly than the Qualtrics survey. We also launched hot food, so we got our operational processes to the point where we could ensure that we could produce and make available hot food. Students can pick up food at a couple different times during the day. They can also pick it up at 6 o'clock at night. One of the challenges also that we had to deal with the realities of being in the hospitality business. 1 out of 6 restaurants in America closed in 2020, and they're still closing. If it weren't for the financial support of the school, we'd never be open at this point. But what's, important was trying to figure out how to operate in the most cost-effective way, because really this was a big investment on the school's part in the students. So we're trying to run it with our partner, Flick Hospitality, in a very cost-effective way. And so it meant not just throwing more bodies at every problem, but figuring out how to operate a kitchen and serving function that could provide innovation on an ongoing basis, and yet still do that in a very labor efficient, labor efficient way. So we still have a tradition of having really great food. I would say one of the reasons that we have our own operator, that food operator that's different than the one on Central Grounds at the university, is that we chose an operator that really provides a fabulous meal experience. It's really good food. It's just really good food. And you know, it's great ingredients. It's thoughtfully prepared. It's thoughtfully presented. It's not, you know, this is not your grandma's, college cafeteria food. And it's good value. And so, you know, we've been able to maintain those standards even under the sort of trying conditions, if you will, of the pandemic. And the innovations continue. This spring, actually, it's already started. We launched, and students are pretty excited about it too. We launched Darden Dishes, which is our answer to kind of the Blue Apron or Home Fresh product. So every day there's a different Darden dish that you can buy. It's basically a box of ingredients that are all the ingredients and the recipes that you need to cook a meal for two. That feeling of community is now kind of extending into people's homes and going back to their apartments, maybe their roommates or their partner being able to prepare a meal together. In fact, tonight, 50 students are taking Darden Dishes home tonight as part of an event where they're all basically going to be cooking food together, of course, in their own homes, but they've all bought the same Darden dish. They're going to have their Zoom on and they'll be chit-chatting about, you know, what it's like to be preparing these dishes. We have students sending us pictures over the last couple of weeks. It's a new innovation, but over the last couple of weeks, people have been sending us pictures of the meals they prepared. And they're so proud that they were able to cook well. Right. And you know, it's just another fun thing and another opportunity to create community. But we launched the Darden Dishes. We've also launched, launching next week, the dinner to go option. So most of, you know, our lunch meals, they're really meant to be eaten right away. But now we have a product called the dinner to go, which is sort of refrigerator stable for a couple of days. So it's easy to reheat. So, you know, if on a Thursday, which is maybe the last day of class for the week, you're on grounds and you could pick up your lunch for the day, but you can also get a dinner to go and maybe you get a Darden dish and you've got, you know, meals for the whole weekend. Like I said, it's quality stuff. And so people are really responding very favorably to it. I think a lot of people know me now as Larry, the lunch guy. They have no idea that I have a real job, that I'm doing full time in executive education. But it's been fun. It's been a learning experience. Oh, and by the way, we've partnered with students to do this. So I have a weekly meeting with the Flick hospitality team that includes three students from the second year class that are sort of our sounding board and advisors. I also have another group of students, actually future students, they're future year scholars, that are working with me and the team on reimagining the student dining experience of the future. Because one of the features of our future is that when the hotel reopens, one way that it's going to be very different from our current hotel is that it will have dining facilities, a restaurant, a coffee shop, and there were no such services or facilities in our recently demolished hotel. And so all of our conference guests and hotel guests, they would have breakfast up the hill. The dining experience in Darden, you know, up until now has been one of a very mixed community, students dining, faculty, staff, but also conference guests, hotel guests. In the future, most of that food traffic is going to happen down the hill. And so the residential MBA student is going to have an experience of the Abbott Center dining room, which is very different. We've already begun to redesign the dining room to be prepared for that different reality. We've built in a student lounge space within the Abbott Center dining room, which just had its first phase of makeover, better flooring, better paint and so forth. But the student lounge will have, of course, when the pandemic's over, it'll have sofas, it has TV on the, you know, TVs on the wall, ping pong table, pool table, that kind of thing. And be just a much more sort of student center kind of place. And so we're trying to develop a clearer vision for a very engaging student dining experience, which really kind of overlaps in just the student community experience, so that students really feel like the Abbott Center, Cafe 67, the South Lounge, all of these spaces that if you get to come visit, you'll see, or you can check out online, that they feel even better about just hanging out there and knowing that there's going to be a cool sort of coffee bar, a cool food culture, maybe a little food court. Those are the concepts that we're working on for the not too distant future. So we're starting with this thing called the student meal plan, but it's really the start of a change in the food and service culture, the dining service culture here at Darden.
Well, so much interesting stuff there, Larry. One of the best things about getting to host this podcast is I always learn about new things. So I did not know about the Darden Dishes program. Do you happen to know what the dish that the 50 groups of students are preparing, or the 50 pairs? I'm curious. I know I'm putting you on the spot. I imagine that some of our listeners might be wondering. So I thought I'd just ask.
You know, I think it's something with chicken and capers. I'm pretty sure it's chicken. And then there's a lentil-based vegetarian option. So there's always a vegetarian or vegan option in addition to the meat option. But I think it was something with chicken and capers.
Any past experiences that you've had that you feel like have prepared you for what you're doing right now? Or, I mean, I'm listening to all the things that you're doing, and it's like, well, it's innovating, constantly listening, it's customer service, it's, you know, operations, there's people management to it. I mean, there's so much there, but I wonder what has prepared you for this work?
Well, I will say that, so I sort of nothing and everything, I suppose, right? I'm of a certain age. I'm in my 50s, and so I've seen my fair share of complexity in the different roles that I've had, but I've never had a hospitality responsibility like this. And over the last couple of years, I've learned a lot about hospitality. But I'll say that I've totally drawn on my MBA, my particularly operations, right? Service operations, production operations, and I'm not going to say that that was my strongest suit either as a student. But some of those, particularly some of those service management principles, you know, I think have been helpful to me. And it's also been, you know, I would say one thing that has helped me is that I have had roles in the past, particularly in my last few years in investment banking. I was the global chief operating officer of a major investment bank, which is a lot of operational responsibilities, right? And you know, strategy is important, you know, infrastructure is important, but execution really counts. And so I've had jobs, a lot of responsibilities over the years where execution is really what matters, and you know, that happens on a daily basis. And so I definitely have had more of a daily execution operational mindset these last couple of years, which has, you know, been energizing. It is different than the role that I play with, you know, in exec ed, where I'm talking with clients and colleagues and faculty about programs that we're building that will, you know, evolve over a couple of years. It's not a daily kind of operational decision-making sort of role. So I've appreciated that. And drawn on some of my experiences in that regard. And there was a time when I was responsible for a whole office of people in India when I was based in London with this investment bank. And I did learn the incredible importance of food in building community. I was remembering that the quality of the lunch that we could provide was going to mean a lot to the quality of the work life that our new colleagues in this new office were going to have. And it just brings me back to the point that I was making, you know, the dean's observation about how important food is to community. Well, I've seen that in the past, and we're seeing it here again. And Darden is about community. I mean, I think, you know, it's big enough to be the world-renowned organization, you know, the world-renowned school that it is. It's big enough to provide people like myself, you know, really interesting professional opportunities. But it's also small enough that kind of it's like the song from Cheers. Everybody knows your name. And we
we're kind of looking out for each other's needs, right? And in this case, you know, in my case, we're looking out for the need for community, right? That it's harder because we don't get to get together as much as we used to, and students don't get to spend time together, that we're thinking about that a lot. And so we're thinking about how we strengthen the community even when things like the pandemic come along. So just some more thoughts on my life at Darden.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, we've had a lot of conversations about the way that the Darden community has persisted in the face of the COVID-19 pandemic. So much happening, so much going on, and yet student organizations still finding ways to have events, and students are still finding ways to gather. Admittedly, you know, following the university guidelines that have evolved from groups of 15 to now we're at groups of 6, most recent guidance that I saw. You know, it's great to see that creativity and the desire for community. Probably no surprise, given the mix of people at Darden. Our students come because of the community. Our faculty and staff do as well. And I think that's one of the best things about being a staff member here. Larry, I wonder, I want to talk a little bit about the hotel and conference center just very quickly, because, you know, it's a major investment by the school. You know, there's a lot happening. You probably some video to come of the destruction of the inn, as I understand it from talking to my media colleagues. But to you, you know, this is probably particularly exciting given the work that you do, the clients that you're engaging with. You know, what would you want somebody listening to this podcast to know about the conference center and just what it means for the Darden School?
Mm-hmm. It's really important that we not get, you know, caught up in the details of the construction schedule and the da-da-da-da, you know, all the things we can, if we focus on them too much, we lose sight of really what that end vision is. And I would characterize it like this. You know, Darden is a world-class institution. It has traditionally had facilities that are world-class. I believe our hotel was falling behind. Not only was it falling behind in its sort of level of decor and you know sort of rehabilitative state, it didn't have the services and the support and the surroundings that you'd expect from a world-class institution. And so we're fixing that. The new hotel will have a very high level of quality. It will have a great restaurant, a wine cellar. It will have a bar. It will have private dining facilities. It will have the coffee shop. But what's really going to catch people's eye and what's really going to change the way that we engage with our physical setting is the Arboretum and Botanical Gardens. I can't remember the number of acres it is that's behind that sit behind the hotel, which are currently just wooded area that nobody would go into. Although you can see Scott Beardsley walking around there quite often. That's where he takes his lunchtime walks. We're going to be rehabilitating that entire green space, you know, keeping as much as we can, but building an arboretum and botanical gardens that will be like nothing we have in Central Virginia. And on a daily basis, will be an opportunity for people in our community to be in a even more beautiful outdoor space, reflective space. We're building an outdoor classroom concept that'll be available. There are terraces all around to enjoy the space. I believe it's going to change the character of our grounds in a very important way. It's going to make it feel even more like home, nicer than my house. It'll feel even more comfortable. Give people an opportunity to engage with one another and with the grounds in new ways. It will have in it a banquet facility that will be a room large enough to house the entire Darden community, which we don't currently have. Even our auditorium, or large auditorium, in underneath the Abbott Center is not large enough. I don't believe for the entire Darden student body, for instance. But we will be able to do that in the new hotel. And so as a gathering space also for students, student clubs, student events, student organizations, it is going to bring a new dimension of possibilities to student life.
Well, Larry, thank you for that detail. I mean, it's so impressive just to hear you sort of tick through all the things that are going to come with this project, with the Darden Inn & Conference Center. And I appreciate your coming on here to talk about the meal plan and the efforts that are being made on behalf of like students and to create this community. I mentioned this is trial. You know, this is something that we're trying out this year. I would also note for our listeners who are thinking about our executive MBA program for executive MBA students, the school has also covered the cost during the weekend residencies for meals and snacks. And so that's also been part of their experience too. And again, trying to make their experience as seamless and as easy as possible for those students who are choosing to come in person when possible.
Yeah, and actually, I'm glad you pointed out the Roslyn food service options and the support we provide to the degree student participants up there. And also note that our Roslyn team, our Sands Family Ground team, has actually been the source of quite a few of our food product and service innovations. So they're also part of the Flick hospitality team, but it's a different team of people up there. And maybe it's sort of a different rhythm of food service, but it allowed them to innovate even more quickly. And so we get some of our best innovation ideas in Charlottesville. We actually get them from Roslyn, and they get a few ideas from us as well, from Charlottesville as well. It's all us, but yeah, back and forth. And it's a great team. We look forward to hosting EMBAs, MSBAs, residential MBAs. They're all food service customers from that perspective. But more importantly, all members of the community. And we're really just trying to build an even stronger community.
Well, Larry, we always ask the same last question of all of our guests. Any pieces of advice, any word that you might share with them about Darden or thing that you think they should think about as they chart their MBA journey here?
I think what I'd say is that if you're listening to this podcast, you're starting to ask yourself questions about your future, right? And the role that a place like Darden might have in it. And I would say that the thought that I would leave with you, or the word that I would leave with you, is that you should expect your life to change in amazing and positive ways, perhaps regardless of where you choose to go to school. I can look back now. You're probably 30 years behind me in life, but I remember being where you were, and you should expect that things will be amazing and different. But what you can't really expect is that they will be exactly what you imagine. And so you have to keep your mind open, to the things that you're going to learn, the things that you're going to experience. You may believe that going to graduate school or going to business school, is something you want to do because you have X, Y, and Z in mind. That's how I thought about things when I was going through the process you're going through. There's now a business school case written about me at that other school at Cambridge, because when I was a student, I was so focused on X, Y, and Z that I didn't realize that what I really loved was A, B, and C. And had I been paying attention to the people around me a little more closely, had I been reflecting on the things that I was learning about business, about myself, had I been reflecting about those things, I would have realized that there was a lot more opportunity out there than I had even imagined. And I would encourage you just to be open to it and to believe that at a place like Darden, amazing things are going to happen. Amazing things are going to happen for you, because of you, to you, with you. And I just wish you all the very best. If you end up at Darden, great. I'll look forward to seeing you in the hallways. And if you end up somewhere else, I'll wish you the very best nonetheless. But just Godspeed to everybody.
Well, Larry, thank you so much. I learned a ton in this conversation. So appreciate everything that you're doing for the students on behalf of the Darden community. It's always great catching up with you. And thank you so much for taking time out for the podcast.
Well, thank you, Brett. Wahoo-wah.
And that was my interview with Larry Murphy, president of Custom Solutions for Darden's Executive Education and Lifelong Learning Team. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at Darden, that's D-A-R-D-E-N, at virginia.edu. And until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.